from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It is Fan Evening Shift. Jeff Hathorn in tonight. 412-928-9370 is the number. We go out to the fan hotline right now, though, and joined by Post-Gazette columnist Jason Mackey. Jason, you've been a reporter for so long. Is the columnist really sunk in yet?
No, it hasn't.
Are you enjoying like giving your opinions about stuff, whereas before you kind of just had to report?
Yeah, you know, it's weird, Jeff. Like, I haven't gotten completely comfortable even hearing columnists. I don't know if I'm completely comfortable being a columnist. And, I mean, that's just being completely truthful with you and anybody listening. Like, I think, you know, I think we all have different styles. And some people, Paul Zeiss would be one that has no problem, you know, screaming at you, telling you exactly what they think. And I love that about Paul. And God bless him. And, you know, I'm wired a little bit differently. And I think that's okay. And my approach is going to be different. I feel like I've blended some reporting, and yeah, it's going to be a different type of story, different type of column that comes out. So I'm finding it. I feel like it's gotten better, but it's not where I want it to be yet.
Yeah, I think copying Zeiss would be a career mistake, and I mean that only from this standpoint. Even if I tried, I couldn't. He is so unique.
No, and I mean that. To me, that's what makes a newspaper great. That's what makes any staff great. Like, you have different personalities. I'm not going to try to be Paul. I'd be silly if I would. But, you know, I do enjoy it. I like the variation. I like being around different teams. It's weird. I was just talking about this with my wife, actually, about how each, like, pocket of the year, and we've only had about 4+ months at this point, so there haven't been many pockets, but they all feel differently. You know, I'm trying to figure out what football is going to look like. Got a little taste of postseason hockey, or like the wind down of hockey into baseball. So they've all been fun, but it's just a matter of like, I want to go everywhere and do everything all the time, just like you do, you know, and you can't.
Yep.
So I'm having to like figure
out.
We try, but having to prioritize and figure out where to be.
Well, damn it, Jason. I thought baseball was going to be kind of keep the headlines, but a 10-game losing streak will run you right down those headlines. What do you make? It's good teams, but what do you make of? I mean, wow, this fell apart quickly.
I know. I can feel you just sort of like looking around and palms up in the air. Like I don't think any of us have a great answer for it. I don't think the Pirates have a great answer for it. I mean, if they had an answer for it, they'd fix it. One thing that keeps rolling around in my brain is hearing them sort of like downplay, you know, that it's a break, that it's a bad bounce. I don't like that. I think it's more than that. I think they would be silly, or, you know, I just don't agree with minimizing what's going on. Like, 10 games is a sizable losing streak. Where this has come from has been detrimental to their season and their progress. And I understand and respect those in it and what it's like to go through that. At the same time, you know, we're on the media side. I look at what Bob Nutting is expecting. I'm looking at where they're at in a rebuild, what fans want, what fans deserve. And they won 76 games last year. They darn well better win more than 76 this year, or I think you've got some problems. I can understand allowing, you know, how do they come out of this? How do they respond to this? Whatever. But, I mean, if this continues to snowball, I also wouldn't blame Bob Nutting and Travis Williams or whomever for saying, like, we can't we can't have this. You know, this is just unacceptable in year five. Like, I wouldn't blame them one bit for having that stance.
So, Jason, I mean, it's going to take a run for them to get to 76 wins, considering what has just happened. What do you think the ramifications would be? I mean,
I don't think Shelton's back, just to put it plainly. If they finish with fewer than 76 wins, I don't think Shelton's back. I don't know how you can bring him back. I mean, that is the definition of a step backwards. They've got 42 left. I think they'd have to go 20 and 22 to get the 76, if my math is right. It's not great. You know, 20 and 22 feels like a very steep hill right now. And, I mean, again, Bob Nutting said in January, and I think he reiterated it after the Sheets thing when he talked to us, that, like, the goal this year is the playoffs. The goal this year is competing, contending, all this stuff. The goal isn't to go backwards. And I think I would look at this year and say, like, you're not getting the most out of a team where money has been spent. You know, Bob's put out payroll where he thinks that they should be better. And people can disagree with that, but if the owner thinks that he's spent enough to put a winner on the field and the team wins fewer games than last year, I don't see why the owner wouldn't act.
The general manager comes into play here because you could defend what Derek Shelton has done by saying, well, what options does he have? Why doesn't he have more at his disposal? Where does that I don't want to know if blame is the right word, but where does that accountability come into play?
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not big on saying it's this guy's fault, whether
right.
that's a player, whether it's, that's somebody
yes.
in charge. Like, to me, that's so short-sighted. Like, Shelton's messed up in all of this. Carrington's messed up in all of this. The players have messed up in all. Nobody's blameless. So, I mean, you know, I look at Carrington's side of it, and I don't think he's traded well enough. I you can evaluate what they got back for Starling Marte, Josh Bell, Jameson Taillon, Clay Holmes. You know, that is way, way, way too lopsided. And those trades on the other side, there's been enough runway, so you should see some production from the guys coming back. You know, if we look at last year's trades or something and try to evaluate them, like the Carlos Santana trade, and you say, oh, they haven't gotten anything from Johnny Severino. Well, he's 18. You know, they made these trades that I'm talking about in, you know, 2020. And 2021 as well. Like, that's enough time that the player on the other side of that trade should impact. Anyway, you know, Charrington trades have not been good enough. You haven't gotten enough internationally, and you've had time to do that to get those guys to develop them. You haven't done a good enough job drafting, I would argue. Like, Henry Davis, 2021, a college kid taking 1-1, should be in the major leagues and impacting the big league ball club. As it stands now, I don't know where he plays, and I don't know when he comes up. That's not good. The offense hasn't been good enough. The owner talked, you know, when he talked to us at the Sheets thing about needing to see more offense, and it hasn't improved since then. And they're standing by with Andy Haynes, and it makes absolutely no sense. Anyway, I'm just going on a rant, Jeff.
No,
I'm sorry.
I think all Pirate fans are right now going on a rant.
Yeah, and I mean, like, they stood in front of us, sat in front of us when they were hired, and talked about this player-centric model. That we're going to do things that are individual for each player. We're going to reach each player individually. So what do? Now they have a one-size-fits-all offensive approach. What? That's the exact opposite of what you said you're going to do. That's the exact opposite of effective coaching. Don't have an offensive approach that fits everyone. Reach each player individually.
Right, which reminds me of what got them in trouble with the pitching staff not so long ago with Uncle Ray.
Exactly.
Was that they try to make everybody the same, and Tyler Glass now is not the same as Jameson Taillon or Jeff Locke or whomever you want to say.
Yep. Jack Sawinski cannot navigate an at-bat the same way Andrew McCutchen can. Don't ask him to. No offense, Jack. He can't think the way that Andrew McCutchen can. Don't ask him to. But he can't hit the ball a long way. Let him be aggressive. He's going to swing and miss sometimes. Okay, I understand that. I can live with it. If you hit 25 to 30 home runs, I can live with the strikeouts, but I want the aggression. And they've taken the bat out of his hands.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
I do believe this. I don't know that if they were to make a managerial change that right now is the time. Because I think, to be fair, you play out the entire year. The emotional thing and the easy thing to do is to blame it all on Shelton and say, we're going to fire the manager. And I think it's a different scenario than, let's say, when Dan Bylsma was brought in or Mike Sullivan was brought in, because that was a team that was ready to win. I don't know that this team is ready to win, and I don't know that they have it. They're not in a position where they have time to make a comeback where they can get back in this, in my opinion. What do you think? Do you think if they're going to make a decision, just do it now? And here's the other thing I think can happen is, and I love Bill Stewart. Bill Stewart was a great man. God rest his soul. But because West Virginia made that move and then he won that bowl game, they had to hire him as head coach. If you hire, let's say it's Donnie Kelly, and Donnie Kelly does a great job, and you're almost committed to having to hire him, whereas maybe you wanted to bring in somebody else.
Yep. And I think you bring up a lot of great points, Jeff. Here's where I would go with this. I'm not saying this is where the Pirates are going to go. This is where, if I was running things, I would go. And I do think there's an argument for this if you're Bob Nutting. The first lever I would pull would be Andy Haynes. And I'd pull it soon, if not, like, you know, 5 minutes ago. I want to see how the team performs without Haynes. I want to see how the offense does with a different set of eyes, a different approach. Basically, Apple Z everything. And say, you guys do what you do best. I want to see you be aggressive. I want to see, you know, like, try to reach each player individually and see what happens. I don't know. It may still stink. They may still play sloppy baseball. I think I would use this as sort of a line of demarcation for the rest of the season. I probably wouldn't get rid of Shelton. If I'm Bob Nutting, that move right there, I mean, if it saves things, then that's going to save me a heck of a lot of money down the road with Derek Shelton. If nothing changes, then I know this offseason I'm probably going to need to go in a different direction with Derek Shelton. And they're going to have to at least eat next year on his contract. You know, he was extended. 2025 would be that extension year. I still operate under the assumption that it was a one-year extension. I'm not reporting that. But, like, we know that they would have to eat money in 2025 if they fired Shelton this offseason. Donnie Kelly's a perfectly logical replacement for me. Universally respected around that clubhouse. Great baseball man, deserves his chance. He's interviewed a couple of places. I think he's very close to becoming a major league manager. Have no problems. If you see what you have without Haynes the rest of the way, if it looks good, you stick with Shelty, because I do think that's what they want to do. And if it doesn't, then you go to Don Kelly in the offseason.
I have stopped, as of yesterday, I've stopped looking at the wild card standings because it just ticks me off too much. After doing a couple of days of the pre- and post-game show and hearing all the angst, and understandably so, but assuming that they're not in this, which they're not, what would you do with Paul Skeens in September?
I'd let him get to about 150 to 160 and shut him down. I understand people would be upset about it. It would stink for home gates. The long-term health of Paul Skeens in his right arm should be the most important thing. And it stinks, but, you know, again, I was doing this math. I think I might have tweeted it, but, you know, five more starts, something like that, Jeff. And if they're as out of it as this looks like it could be, I'd shut them down, you know, 3 weeks to go in September, something like that. Again, I think it's going to be there are a couple inputs. You're basing it on the standings, how the rest of the team is playing. But again, we're saying if this current trajectory continues, if they tumble way out, you know they're bad. I'd let him get to 150, you know, 155, we'll say, and then shut him down.
We have some great producers, as you're aware of, Jason, here at the Fan.
I am.
Joel Nelson is high on that list. He has a question for you.
All right.
Jason, so Jared Jones has given up multiple runs in both of his rehab starts with Indianapolis, less than ideal. Do you think he needs like another rehab start with those guys before he comes back to Pittsburgh, or you think he's good otherwise?
That's tough to say, Joel. I'd err on the side of yes. I'd err on the side of another rehab start. I don't want to rush him. That does nothing for me. I would like to see how those runs were allowed. Is his slider sharp? If the slider is sharp and he's just trying to get work in on his four-seamer and it's getting hit, or if he's trying to use his changeup and that's getting hit, that really doesn't worry me. But if I have to give an answer right now, I'd allow him to get comfortable. And if it's a couple runs, if he's, you know, if there's any signs at all that he might need a little bit more time, I'd wait.
It is Steelers season, at least preseason, and the final home game for like a month is scheduled for Saturday at 7 o'clock. Saw you at the game, obviously, on Friday night against Houston. What has, at this point, what has you excited and what has you worried about the Steeler team?
I like that, Jeff. I like that. What has me excited is the offense. That's probably a broad... broad category, but like I like the number of times they went downfield in the last preseason game. I think Russell Wilson and or Justin Fields can have a very good year in this offense. I think they're going to be a pretty physical football team. I think their wide receivers can be better than many think. I guess what worries me, maybe the secondary outside of Joey Porter Jr., and Minka, of course, but like, you know, is that secondary going to be good enough? I'd like to think they would, but that just like the depth up front on the defensive line, even depth at linebacker, that's probably what concerns me. I'm very broad in these, Jeff. I don't like it. Maybe I should have been more specific. But
no,
I think they can be better offensively than many would think. And I just, if there's a thing that worries me, it's just how many points they give up.
It is still early, and it's tough to have definitive opinions about this team as much as we all offered opinions about everything, and fans do as well. We had a fan on the Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Say on a ask me on a scale of 1 to 10 how much better the quarterback situation is than last year. Not comparing it to any other quarterback situation, but to last year, I went 7 out of 10. How do you think this quarterback group compares to the three they had last year?
Yeah, and I mean, it's unpopular to say we don't know, right? Like, we're not in the we don't know business. You have to know. You have to have an opinion. So my real answer would be we don't know because everybody thought Kenny Pickett was, you know, the greatest thing since sliced bread last year, and that didn't work out too terribly well. I mean, I'm right at about a 7 or 8. 7 or 8 compared to last year. I mean, it turned out to be, you know, and I'm talking about, like, the bad parts of last year, not necessarily Mason Rudolph. Like, I like the way Russell Wilson and Justin Fields have commanded the offense. I like their ability to get the ball downfield. I like what Van Jefferson has done, frankly, opposite George Pickens. I've been one of the ones saying I don't think Brandon Ayuk is worth the trouble. Again, the offensive line, I liked what I've seen so far, but it's been in limited action. They ran the ball, I thought, decently well in their first preseason game. I mean, they shot themselves in the foot a lot and had to throw it, but you know, they moved it. They averaged 6 yards a play in against the Texans. I think a lot of people sort of overlooked that. If they don't make some of the mistakes they did, they'd be in a pretty good spot. So anyway, guess a long-winded way of saying I think the quarterback play has been fine, and I think it will be fine.
Why do you think Brandon Ayuk is not worth it?
The money. I don't want to pay that much to a receiver. Like, I think they're going to have to pay Pickens. They're going to have to pay Broderick Jones. They're going to have to pay Joey Porter Jr. They're going to have to pay a quarterback. They're getting off on such a bargain under center that deal is not going to last forever. Like a competitive quarterback right now, you're spending upwards of $40 million. And if this works out, like, their draft pick's not going to be great. you're not going to want to invest the draft pick there. You're probably going to need to invest the draft pick, and I don't know, defensive line is probably where I'd go at this point. But and there's no guarantee the following year the quarterback's going to be immediately ready. Like, you're probably going to need to spend on somebody, even if it's Russell Wilson or Justin Fields. What? And then you're going to – how do you pay two receivers, you know, $28 to $32 million? I don't think you can.
One thing I will agree with you on, it seems like running or wide receivers grow on trees. It's just that it doesn't help this year. That's the issue where I think Brandon makes a lot of sense, but, yeah, you're not going to bring him in for 1 year.
Yeah, I mean, if he would come here for just this year, or if the you know, yearly cap hit was going to be lower, great. Like, I mean, I'd be all over Brandon Ayuk for 18, 19, something like that. I don't know, man. I don't know how you pay him and Pickens, and then all the other guys you're going to have to also pay. I don't know how you make it all fit. I mean, maybe Omar does, and that'd be great if he could. To me, it's, you're looking at 2 1,000-yard seasons, a potential system guy. I don't know if he is or not. Like, you can look at fancy numbers, too, and talk about Brandon Ayuk being sure really good, the potential top five guy in the NFL. I get that side of it. And I'm not saying, you know, for another team, it might make a lot of sense to spend $28 or $30 million. I just don't know if it is for the Steelers.
We're joined by Jason Mackey, columnist at the Post-Gazette. Jason, before you were a columnist, you covered the Pirates. Before the Pirates, it was the Penguins. Here's a question I'm sure you never get. Why hasn't Sid signed?
Yeah. Oh, man. I wish I had that one. I'd bottle it and sell it. At this point, Jeff, I'm going to chalk it up to a hockey summer, meaning, like, people go away. They don't do a bunch of work. I don't know how confident I feel in that answer, to be honest with you. Like, Kyle Dubas was in the office trading second round and fifth round and whatever the heck else, nebulous draft picks. I'm willing to bet if he calls, I'm willing to bet he has Sid's number. He can call Sid.
I would hope.
And, yeah, like, that's what worries me here. Like, I don't have a great answer, but here's just where I'm looking at this Crosby situation. If you're Dubas or you're Sid and you want this to happen, doesn't it happen? Right? Like, if I'm Sid, I say, I want to be in Pittsburgh. Kyle, can we get this done? I'd like to have this over with. I just, you know, let's get this contract done. Here's what I want. How, if you're Kyle Dubas, do you say no? And then flip it around. If you're Kyle Dubas, you say, look, you're Sidney Crosby. You're not going to not be with the Penguins. Like, we got to get this figured out. Sid, I don't want to think about this anymore. Let's get this done. Like, what do you want? Let's hammer this out. I don't understand how it could be any more complicated than that, Jeff. I really don't. I mean, everything Sid has done for this city, what are you going to do, nickel and dime him? Get out of here. You know, maybe you can work on the years of the deal. Maybe. But, like, that shouldn't take this long.
What, for the most optimistic hockey fan in Pittsburgh, I mean, what is the ceiling for this group? Like, it's been talked about over the last couple of years. Well, if they could just get in, they could make a run. Of course, they haven't gotten in. Like, is there that type of ceiling that this team could get in and make a run? Or is there just way too many things would have to go right for that to be realistic?
Yeah. I mean, I don't see how they can go any further than the second round. And even that, I know a lot of people will listen to that and think, like, you're nuts. They ain't getting to the second round. And I respect that. I'm just saying, like, the ceiling.
Right.
You know, a wildly successful season for the Penguins would probably be, you know, David Quinn getting through to Erik Karlsson in the power play and that part improving. You know, us learning that Ricard Raquel wasn't completely healthy last season and becomes a productive top six wing once again. Drew O'Connor growing up and taking another step playing with Sid. The mishmash of I don't even know what in the bottom six works. Like, Anthony Beauvillier captures what he had with the Islanders and becomes a useful player there. You know, what's his face? Kevin Hayes. Maybe he, you know, is able to resuscitate his career. I mean, you could be halfway decent down the middle with Malkin, Eller, and Hayes below Sid. You know, maybe Tristan Jarry bounce. But, like, that's a really rosy picture. But I still think that only gets them to about the second round. So I don't know. And that I guess I pick that up and I take it to the Sid discussions. And this is like the nuclear option, right? But if you're Sid and you want a chance to win a cup, well, darn it, it's probably not here. And that's an uncomfortable topic for everybody. And it, like, the Penguins probably need to rebuild. And if Sid wants to chase a cup, it's probably best to do it somewhere else. But those are both very uncomfortable conversations for either side to have.
My skin is crawling, Jason. It is. It is uncomfortable.
Am I wrong, though?
No.
Am I wrong?
And listen, the it's not even as much that the Penguins this offseason or the last offseason kind of put themselves in this spot. It was the signing of Letang and Malkin to a contract extension. It's like, okay, we're not going to rebuild. We still think we can go for it. And sadly, I think that's taken a team that's average and dragging that average out until they can crater and become good again.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, again, I don't want Sid to play for another team. It would repulse me just as much as anybody else. I also wouldn't begrudge him if he said, look, we can't win a cup here, and I want to win a cup. I could never fault a player for making that decision. But if they would come to that conclusion to undo all of what you just said, Jeff, and you know, try to find a place for Malkin, try to find a place for Letang, you know, Montreal, something like that, that would make sense to me. I'm not reporting that it's happened. I'm just saying that, you know, if you're the Penguins and you say, look, the awkwardness is going to come at some point. It's going to come now. This is the best thing. This is how we're going to go about it. We're going to give these guys one last chance, but it just really, it can't happen here because of where guys are at. I don't know. We're all just throwing stuff against the wall because it's somewhat mystifying why Sid's contract hasn't been finalized. Yeah. Like, this would not be a discussion point if they just got it done on 8-7 or earlier.
And that's the funny thing. Once you got past August 7th,
yeah,
it was like,
alarm bells went off.
Right?
I know. I know.
Hey, Jason, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed talking with you. Congrats on the new gig. I like going everywhere that I go now, I see you.
I know.
It's been...
And Jeff, if there's one person in Pittsburgh sports media I enjoy seeing every day, it is you, my friend.
Jason,
I love it.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, Jeff. Take care.
Jason Mackey, columnist for the Post-Gazette, joining us here on 93.7 The Fan. Fan X is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We continue. Right now, there's an NFL game going on. A Pitt Panther has an interception, and a Pitt Panther is at quarterback. Did they throw one to the other? Or what do the stats look like? We'll get you updated on that. Plus, an idea in Major League Baseball that is one of the more insane things that I've ever heard. That is next as we continue. Jeff Hathorne with you as Fan Evening Shift here on 93.7 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.